This is Pat, and I am reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, October the 24th. From the front page, Lincoln-Douglas restructuring plan returns to the board. Gordon Woods for the Clinton Journal. On Tuesday, the topic of restructuring Lincoln and Douglas elementary schools returned to the Unit 15 school board. Principal Jessica Patrick briefed board members about where the proposal currently stands. I thought it was important to refresh memories a little bit before we dive into more specific details of the plan, Patrick said. Patrick said the topic of restructuring surfaced over a year ago during a course of meetings, during which there were discussions about barriers limiting additional services and support for students. Equitable access to resources, eliminating the boundary line between Lincoln and Douglas, and being prepared for increased student numbers and school expansions were among the issues discussed during those meetings, Patrick said. All of those discussions kind of led to the topic of restructuring, she said. We were kind of thinking outside the box, and restructuring was something mentioned long before I came to Clinton. The restructuring committee was formed in March 2025. The group began by developing shared agreements about the overall process it would follow. Since March, we have collected more staff feedback to identify specific needs and challenges across both buildings that would help this plan be more effective, Patrick said. And we've prioritized how it would drive the committee's work. She said the committee members knew they would not always agree on everything, so an effort was made to reach consensus in order to move the plan forward. The main focus of the committee since March has been to solidify the building maps for the two buildings for 2026 and 2027. We wanted to make sure that we were ensuring that all staff, students, and programs were getting adequate space while keeping student needs and experiences at the center of every decision the committee was making, Patrick said. Some of the changes could include how specific classrooms and spaces might be used more efficiently. When we realized is that there's a lot of space there in both buildings that, given what we need to accomplish, could be better utilized in a different way, Patrick said. At this stage, Patrick said the committee was looking for an approval of building maps. Board member Chris Hammer encouraged teachers and staff to express their opinions about the plan. Superintendent of Schools Drew Goebel said he endorsed the proposal, but he felt the board should wait to approve a full plan rather than approve only the building maps first. A Clinton man dies in a single car accident. On Tuesday, DeWitt County Coroner Randy J. Rice identified the person who was involved in a single car accident on Route 54 West, Clinton, as Thomas J. Lubano, 29, of Clinton. He was pronounced deceased at the scene at 7:28 on October the 20th. The accident is still under investigation by the DeWitt County Coroner Randy J. Rice, DeWitt County Sheriff's Department, and the Illinois State Police. And now, something that may affect Thanksgiving a bit. Economy, disease, pressure push turkey prices upward. Rhiannon Branch from the Farm Week. A combination of challenges on U.S. farms has pushed turkey prices higher as the calendar nears Thanksgiving, with wholesale prices up about 40%. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Brent Nelson pointed to economic challenges and increased disease pressure as the leading causes in a recent market intel analysis. Highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI, has had a major impact on the turkey industry, affecting about 18.7 million turkeys and accounting for a 10% of all birds affected by the virus since 2022. This includes 2.2 million turkeys affected so far in 2025, he said on October the 1st. The next day, the USDA confirmed another 42,000 turkeys were impacted by HPAI on a commercial turkey farm in Calhoun County, Iowa. With fall waterfowl migration in full swing, the industry faces the likelihood of additional HPAI cases in the coming weeks. Avian metapneumovirus, AMPV, is also infecting turkey flocks, and while it is far less fatal than HPAI, it threatens future production. One of the greatest impacts of AMPV is a reduction in egg sets for breeders producing the next generation of turkeys to replace losses from HPAI, Nelson said. Breeders face a tough road with the risk of egg-laying birds becoming infected with either HPAI, AMPV, or both. The intensity of the two diseases is causing contraction in the nation's turkey flock. As of September 26, USDA estimated turkey production this year could total 195 million birds, which is down 3% from 2024 and marks the lowest estimate in 40 years. The agency predicts total 2025 turkey production will be 4.84 billion pounds, down 1.8 billion pounds, or 5% from 2024, and down 11% from nearly 5.5 billion pounds in 2023. But Nelson said even though turkey suppliers are lower than historical averages, demand is also down 12% over the past decade. So there'll be plenty of turkey for the holiday season. USDA recently predicted the 2025 national average composite wholesale price for a frozen whole hen turkey will be $1.32 per pound, up 38 cents per pound, or 40%, from the 2025 average price of 94 cents. It's important to remember prices are still 32% lower than just 3 years ago, Nelson said. These production challenges shouldn't have any impact on consumers' ability to get turkey, but they may translate to a higher retail price this holiday season. This story was distributed through a cooperative project between Illinois Farm Bureau and the Illinois Press Association. For more food and farming news, visit farmweeknow.com. In the news, Local Girl 2025 Junior Teen Illinois North America. Faith Garrett was crowned as the 2025 Junior Teen Illinois North America in a small ceremony held Saturday, October 18th in Maryville, Indiana. She is 12 years old, is in the 7th grade, homeschooled, and the daughter of Richard and Jennifer Garrett. Faith's platform is recovery, and she plans to continue to volunteer with DeWitt County ROSC, work in the Vault Cafe, and be involved in various other volunteer opportunities. She looks forward to representing our community through her title. As a stipulation of her reign, she will compete in the International North America Beauty Pageant in Orlando, Florida, in June 2026. She is pictured with her parents. DeWitt Lodge 84 celebrates a milestone. Clinton, DeWitt Lodge number 84, Ancient, Free, and Accepted Masons celebrated its 175th anniversary on Thursday, October the 23rd, with a steak dinner for its membership for its monthly meeting. The lodge was founded on October the 8th, 1850, in Clinton, and has remained active during its 175-year history. The lodge is a fraternity consisting of men who strive to be better men through the teaching and practice of basic moral values. The lodge meets monthly in Clinton. And now from the op-ed page, Week in Review, On Point by Richard Koritz. A multitude of events caught my attention this past week. While I will not dwell on each event, I think they are all worthy of some thought. Pardons. The President's authority to grant pardons is entrenched in our national history. Biden became the pardoning president-in-chief during his final months in office. Trump granted many regarding the January 6th debacle. The granting of those pardons was and is the absolute right of the president. We certainly don't have to agree with all of them, and many Americans strongly disagree with many of the aforementioned pardons. This past week, Trump commuted the sentence of George Santos from 7 years to less than 3 months. A commutation simply reduces or eliminates the penalty. The conviction does remain on his official record. Santos was a Republican congressman who was expelled by his fellow members of Congress before he was even convicted in this case. Santos had some very questionable business dealings and ethics issues on his campaign disclosures. His bio on Wikipedia shows a conviction in Brazil for a bad check. His convictions in the U.S. federal court were for wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. Santos had essentially angered the vast majority of his congressional colleagues and had become an obnoxious presence on the evening news. President Trump apparently saw something of greater value in Santos and commuted his sentence. Santos has been on the evening news channel stating that he is a reformed man and he will make Trump proud of him. I honestly have no comprehension of why Trump did this. When Trump pardoned Blagojevich of Illinois, had at least served some significant time. I respect the president's right to issue the commutation, but I am at a loss to understand the rationale. Solar farms. The DeWitt County Board is considering an ordinance to address the closing or decommissioning of solar farms when they complete their life cycle. The need for such an ordinance is self-evident every time I drive by the solar farm south of Moroa. I am not saying that the solar farm in Moroa has violated any ordinance or is not in the process of repairing its damaged equipment. What I am saying is that the DeWitt County does not need to go into that situation either by adverse weather or by simply aging the solar farms out. I appreciate the county board making the effort to protect both the local environment and keeping the community in good repair. No Kings Rally. No Kings rallies were held across the country this past Saturday. They were well organized and were designed as a protest against Trump. The major points of contention were the military parade that Trump held in Washington, D.C., and Trump's enforcement of immigration laws. I will give the participants credit for having mostly peaceful rallies throughout the country. People have a right to protest. Where the problem was and is, do we know what we're protesting? Several reporters asked the participants what they were protesting, and it was rare to get a specific objection from the protesters. Their comments were almost universal that they didn't like Trump. That response really amused me, with the title of the rally being No Kings. If Trump were a king and this was his kingdom, there would be no rally. No king would allow such a rally. My real concern is that people are now marching simply to complain, and they have no agenda beyond anarchy. That should be a concern for all freedom-loving citizens. Pritzker. I believe Pritzker and Mayor Johnson in Chicago are playing a lousy hand for the taxpayers of Illinois, but I may have to take another look at that good governor. Pritzker likes to play his cards, and it seemed that he can be very efficient at the game. This week at the blackjack tables in Las Vegas, it was reported that the good governor won approximately $1,400,000 at the table. If Pritzker can play that hand for the taxpayers of Illinois, I may have to rethink my opinion of the good governor. Enjoy the fall weather. Richard Corax is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. The Clinton Journal Letter Policy. The Clinton Journal accepts responsibly written letters covering topics of interest to our readers. Letters must be the original works of their senders. The Journal does not publish anonymous letters. Letters submitted for publication must include the name of the author, address, and telephone number. Addresses and telephone numbers will not be published. The editor and manager reserve the right to edit letters for length and or content and to publish letters using any journal platform, such as print, newspaper, website, or other electronically delivered method. Readers should keep in mind that letters published are the opinions of their authors, are not news reports, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this newspaper, its staff, or its advertisers. The journal does not certify information used in letters, but will remove any passages it considers potentially libelous. Election letters. The journal will accept letters from private citizens endorsing candidates or ballot measures. Candidates must purchase political advertising. Dove awards CPD officers. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. At last week's Dove candlelighting ceremony, officers Maggie McHugh and Ryan Kemp were honored for their outstanding commitment and dedicated response to incidents of domestic violence. Calvert's sponsor, free senior breakfast and bingo October the 29th. Calvert's is sponsoring a free adult 60-plus breakfast and bingo at DeWitt County Friendship Center from 10 to 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, October the 29th. Enjoy free bingo games, free food, along with cash prizes and giveaway. Seats will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. And now for the sports news. Clinton dominates against visiting Decatur MacArthur by Mark Rogers of the Clinton Journal. The Clinton Lady Maroons volleyball team had a home stand against Decatur Lady MacArthur Generals last week. This appeared on paper as a good match, with the teams being evenly matched. The Lady Generals were awarded the first serve in the first set and immediately lost the point to the home team. The set was then a back-and-forth match with no one gaining an advantage until the middle of the set. The Lady Maroons went on a 6-point run, accomplished with a couple of well-placed running jump serves, a couple of strategic blocks, and some precisely aimed kill shots. At this point, the game returned to a back-and-forth tussle, but the Lady Maroons on top, winning by those 6 points. Set one to the home team. The second set was much closer and appeared to be heading for a third set tiebreaker. The same scenario unfolded, with neither team gaining a good advantage. There were good plays on both sides and some glaring mistakes also, but no advantage was to be had. Then, with the set and match looming, the Lady Maroons struck quickly and decisively. Starting from a tie at 21, the Lady Maroons fired off 4 straight points to win the set and the match 2-0. Freshman Ava Cyrillic played in all 3 matches, freshman, JV, and varsity, and was a contributing factor with some great kill shots and a couple of block shots to help the varsity team win, as well as the other matches. The Lady Maroons freshman and JV teams also won on this night. The Maroons suffer a 64-0 loss to the Titans. Mark Rogers, writing for the Clinton Journal. The October 17 senior night home game between the Clinton Maroons and El Paso Gridley Titans began with a sputter for both teams, but turned against Clinton in a tough way. The Maroons won the coin toss to start the game and deferred to the Titans, who elected to receive the initial kickoff. The Titans then proceeded to go nowhere, unable to get their running game in gear. The Titans had an incomplete pass and committed holding for a penalty. The Titans then punted to the Maroons, who took possession of the ball but stalled after a couple plays and punted the football back to the Titans. The tide quickly turned for the Titans, taking 2 plays to go to 87 yards for the touchdown and an extra point for a 7-0 lead and 8.26 seconds left in the first quarter. The Maroons took over on the ensuing kickoff and had a couple of good gains, but then lost big yardage to two running plays and punted. The Titans received the ball on the 38-yard line, and the second play ran around the right side for a 64-yard touchdown and added the extra point for a 14-0 lead with 5 minutes and 14 seconds left in the quarter. After going through the same routine, Clinton again gave over the ball to the Titans. And true to form, EPG took a few plays and then unleashed a 68-yard touchdown pass followed by the extra point to lead 21-0 going into the second quarter. The second quarter was not any better for the Maroons. Clinton managed to lose the ball on fewer plays as EPG scored on fewer plays. By the end of the half, the El Paso Gridley team had racked up 42 points to Clinton's 0. The halftime presentation by the M Squad dance team and the Maroons marching band was a welcome break from the onslaught for Clinton fans. The third and fourth quarters ran together as the fast clock rule was applied. Anytime there is a 40 or more point difference in scores, the play clock remains running except for timeouts and injuries and so on. Again, it was Clinton getting the ball and punting, giving EPG the chance for another touchdown, which they capitalized on. The Titans also managed to score a 2-point extra to shake things up. The Titans went home with a 64-0 win, their biggest win this season. This was the Maroons' biggest loss of the season. Clinton has one game left in the regular season schedule, an away game against the Tremont Turks. And now for some information on estate planning. Why estate planning matters. How one couple saved over $1 million in taxes by Bryce Lynch. I recently met with a couple to talk about their estate planning. During our first meeting, it became clear they had a serious estate tax issue. The husband owned about $8 million in assets, and his wife owned around $6 million. Much of what they owned was held in joint tenancy, meaning that when one spouse dies, the surviving spouse automatically becomes the sole owner of those assets. While that setup works fine for many families, it can be a big problem in Illinois for couples with combined assets over $4 million. Here's why. Illinois imposes an estate tax on estates over $4 million per person, and unlike the federal system, Illinois doesn't allow portability of the exemption between spouses. If one spouse dies and everything passes to the survivor in joint tenancy, the first spouse's $4 million exemption is lost, and the surviving spouse could end up paying hundreds of thousands or even millions in unnecessary estate taxes. Thankfully, with some planning, this couple can eliminate or dramatically reduce their Illinois estate tax exposure by setting up irrevocable living trusts and transferring some of their holdings into LLCs. They can make full use of both exemptions. In their case, that means an estimated tax savings of more than $1 million, money that will now stay in the family instead of going to the state. Their situation is a great example of how the right estate plan can make a huge financial difference. Here are some helpful takeaways. Number one, know the Illinois estate tax limit. Illinois taxes estates worth more than $4 million per person. Without proper planning, married couples can easily lose one spouse's exemption and pay far more than necessary. Two, be careful with joint ownership. Holding everything in joint tenancy might seem simple, but it often causes bigger tax problems later. Keeping certain assets separate or in a trust can help preserve both exemptions. Number three, consider an LLC or family limited partnership. For families with significant real estate or investments, placing assets in an LLC or family partnership can simplify management and even reduce estate tax values through valuation discounts. Keep your plan up to date. Major life events can make your old plan outdated. Review your documents every few years to stay protected. 5. Honor your values. Many organizations recognize planned gifts with donor acknowledgement opportunities. Your legacy can live in the form of named scholarships, endowments, and permanent funds. This article was presented by Taylor and Lenat, attorneys at law. They can be contacted at 217-935-2183. And for the obituaries, Richard Rick Dwayne Smith, Baytown, Texas. Richard Rick Dwayne Smith, 75, of Baytown, Texas, formerly of Clinton, passed away at 12:51 p.m. on October the 15th, 2025, at Harbor Hospice House of Houston, Texas. Services will be conducted at 11 a.m. on Saturday, October the 25th in 2025 at Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton, with Pastor Ken Graham and Ernie Harvey Jr. officiating. Burial will follow at Oak Park Cemetery in Clinton. Visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday at the funeral home. Steve Watkins. Steve Watkins of Clinton passed away peacefully, surrounded by love. Graveside services will be conducted at 10 a.m. on Friday, October the 24th, at the Building of Hope, East Lawn Memorial Gardens, Bloomington, with the Reverend Keith Blankenship officiating. Visitation was held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, October the 23rd, at the Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. In the news, law enforcement. Clinton Police Department. Citations. On 10/17/25, Michelle Bilgren, 45, of Decatur, was issued a citation for operating an uninsured vehicle. Bilgren was issued a notice to appear. Arrests. In 10/14/25, Kyle Roberts, 21, of Saybrook, was charged with driving while license suspended and disobeying a stop sign. Roberts was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. On 10/19/25, Ricky Alsers, 48, of Clinton, was charged with violation of an order of protection. Alsers was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. DeWitt County Sheriff's Office, October the 10th through the 17th. Jonathan Walter of Versailles, Kentucky, was issued a citation for speeding 80 miles an hour in 55 mile per hour zone. Walter was released with no required court appearance. Dwayne Cox, 49, of Champaign, was issued a citation for operation of vehicles without evidence of registration. Cox was released with no required court appearance. Alex Crispin, 20, of Clinton, was issued a citation for failure to reduce speed or accident. Crispin was released with no required court appearance. Joseph Clary, 44, of Clinton, was arrested on a DeWitt County warrant charging him with a driving RVK and suspended DUISS second. Cameron Collins, 27, of Wapala, was arrested and charged with domestic battery, resisting or obstructing a peace officer, firefighter, or correctional institution employee on an unlawful restraint. Investigation into the scene of an accident which occurred at approximately 12:19 p.m. on 10/15/25 revealed that Thelma Pearl, 93, of Clinton, was traveling westbound on State Highway 10 at Weldon Springs Road. Molly Neal, 64, of Clinton, was stopped at the intersection of Weldon Springs Road and State Highway 10 facing north. Neal stated she looked both ways for traffic and did not see any other vehicles and proceeded to turn west. As Neal was turning onto State Highway 10, the front passenger side hit Pearl on the rear driver's side. Neal's vehicle sustained damage to the front passenger side quarter panel, and Pearl's vehicle sustained damage to the rear driver side quarter panel. Both vehicles were driven from the scene. Neal was issued a citation for failure to yield at an intersection. Neal was released with no required court appearance. All suspects are presumed innocent until found guilty in a court of law. And now I'll be back with you next week. Enjoy your day.